Countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Check out tens of thousands of technical articles on our new knowledge hub on farmersjournal.ie.
Now, the issue of live exports of cattle has long been somewhat of a contentious one, particularly in Ireland, from where around 300,000 cattle, including young calves, are live exported annually. Global data from the UN's Food and Agricultural Organization shows that in 2019, 1.8 billion live chickens, pigs, sheep, goats and cattle were moved across borders in the world, with the EU responsible for, it's estimated, upwards on three quarters of these movements. But now the European Parliament has established a committee of inquiry onto the protection of animals during transport. MEP Billy Kelleher has just become a full member of this committee with full voting rights. The European Parliament Committee is due to report in a year. And Billy Kelleher now joins me, as does Caroline Rowley of Ethical Farming Ireland. Good morning to you both, and thank you very much for joining us. And Billy, I'll begin with you. Is it ominous for the future of live animal exports that this committee has been established?
Well, I mean, this committee is established primarily to look into whether or not the Commission is enforcing the regulations that it set some years ago in regards to animal transport across the European Union, bearing in mind that when you look at the entire of the European Union, some countries have exceptionally high standards and others are very, very poor in maintaining standards or enforcing standards of animal transport. So from that perspective, that's the primary purpose, is to see the inadequacies of the EU Commission's enforcement of its own regulations through the member states. Obviously, in that debate, there's going to be clear views one way or the other on opinions about the principle of animal transport itself. So from an Irish perspective, you know, we have to ensure that we maintain the highest standards, that we protect the integrity of the standards and the investigation of breaches of standards as well, and that we consistently move towards a position where we can scientifically assess the best standards and, you know, ensure that live exports of animals is maintained in a way and provided in a way that doesn't unduly harm the animal during the transport itself.
Yeah, but, go on.
Yes, there is two issues, you see. There is the issue around the enforcement of the regulations that are there, and then what Ireland has to do to ensure that it maintains the highest integrity in our own standards as well.
Okay, Caroline, what do you think the focus of this committee should be?
Good morning, Damien. Thank you for having me on the programme. Obviously enforcement is one issue, but, you know, also that there is the, you know, the suffering that these animals endure during the journeys, and, you know, the whole environmental factors as well. You know, why are we shipping live animals all the way around the world when we can ship meat instead? And, you know, with regard to enforcement, obviously, you know, the bulk of the live export from Ireland is unweaned calf. Last year it was around 140,000 unweaned calves exported. And, you know, these calves are between 15 and 21 days old. They're going up to 30 hours with no feed because it's impossible to feed an unweaned calf during transit. They have to be unloaded from the truck because they have to be fed individually because they're dependent on a milk diet. So, you know, and this is a direct breach of the EU regulation on the transport of animals. You know, the regulation clearly states that calves must be fed after a maximum of 19 hours, which isn't happening because they're on the ferry after 19 hours. So, you know, it's impossible to export calves within the regulation and humanely, because obviously it's inhumane to leave a young vulnerable animal that long without any feed.
But it's in nobody's interest, not least the seller or the buyer of the animal, that an animal would be mistreated.
No, I'm not saying they're mistreated. I'm just saying it's impossible to feed them. And, you know, they do suffer, and some of these animals do die on the way. Unfortunately, the department doesn't actually monitor the mortality rate, so I couldn't give you a figure. But I have seen footage and I've seen documents that show that some of the calves do die on the way. It's obvious if you leave a 15-day-old animal, 30 animals, without feed, it's going to suffer.
OK, Billy, can I bring you in there at this point in relation to the travel journey time from Rosslare to Cherbourg? It means the calves are going without water and without feed for lengthy periods of time, according to Caroline.
Well, they shouldn't be going without water because, I mean, they should be
water.
They shouldn't be going without water. Is fresh water provided on the trucks that are stationary on the boats as they transfer from Rosslare to Cherbourg? I think it's important to put a few things in perspective. There isn't a huge mortality rate, being honest, Caroline, in terms of the transport of animals from Ireland to the Netherlands, for example. In fact, it is exceptionally low. It is point.
It's not recorded, though.
It's 0.6%. So it's not. The point I'm making is.
Where do you get that figure, Billy?
That is the figure that's recorded in terms of the number of animals that leave Rosslare and arrive in their destinations in the Netherlands, and it is logged, which they're obligated to do by the drivers, and there is inspection processes. The point I'm making here is there is no doubt across the European Union there is fundamental breaches of the regulations that we insist on, but from an Irish perspective we have a significant challenge because we're an island and we have to transport in ferries. But the standards are exceptionally high, Caroline, and I think it would be wrong to say that there is not high standards in terms of the welfare of the animal. The challenge, and the significant challenge, is on the ferry boats themselves. And we are, and the Chagas and others are doing an awful lot of research into how we can assist that to ensure that there's no stress placed on the animals while they're actually on the ferry during that period where they can't be fed. But they are watered, they are bedded, and they are having fresh air, and all those standards are maintained right throughout the journey.
Okay. It doesn't matter, though. I just have to say,
like, there has been research done in the Netherlands on this particular issue, and Irish calves arriving in the Netherlands are of the highest quality and the ones that need least intervention after the journeys.
Okay.
And that has been scientifically assessed and studied by universities in the Netherlands because they are interested in the veal trade.
Okay, well, Caroline, can I just put it to you that if we do concentrate on Ireland for a moment, I know this is a European-wide committee that has been set up in the European Parliament, but we're an island nation, so when it comes to exports of live animals, obviously they have to be shipped via the UK or France or whatever. Are you calling for a complete ban on live exports totally?
Okay, so, you know, I think obviously if we suddenly stopped the export overnight, you know, despite the fact that it is in breach of regulations, obviously that could cause welfare issues here because there would be a glut of calves to deal with. So, you know, we're kind of looking for, first of all, the age to be increased to 2 months old because they're a lot better equipped at that age to deal with the journey, and then looking at a phase out because, you know, we can't carry on being dependent on live export. It's unsustainable. It's not a high welfare industry. Obviously, these animals are suffering. And also, you know, like COVID has shown us that, you know, the supply chains, you know, we can't be so dependent on export. Like last year, the volumes decreased by 60,000. So there were 60,000 extra calves to deal with last year. The calf slaughter went up by about 14,000. So the rest of them must have been absorbed into the beef sector. This year, you know, already the calf export volumes are down 60% on last year's volume at this time of year. So, you know, again, you know, the demand just isn't there at the moment. So, you know, what's going to happen to all these calves? We can't carry on being dependent on an industry that is volatile, you know, and public feelings and perceptions are changing. You know, the reason this committee has been set up is because there was a petition submitted to the e-commission with like over a million signatures. You know, the public do not like this industry.
Okay.
And, you know, we can't carry on ignoring all these issues.
Just when you're talking about sustainability, you know, farmers sometimes they quibble and say, you know, when I'd be talking to them about environmental sustainability, they say sustainability is also about social sustainability and obviously financial sustainability. And this is a trade apparently that's worth 300 to 400 million euros to the sector each year. So it's not to be sniffed at from an economic.
It was 167 million in 2019.
Well, according to Board B figures from last year, it's 300 million or thereabouts.
That's including horse export. I'm talking about beef export.
Sorry, Billy.
The entire live export is worth 300 to 400 million. We were talking about the unweaned calves primarily. Yeah. So we're talking about two different.
Okay, and we're talking about weanlings and calves. But Billy, just on that, if you ever want to get a straw poll of the political mood music around Europe, you look no further maybe than Brussels or Strasbourg and the makeup of the Parliament there. You're a member of the Parliament and have been for over a year now or whatever. Is the mood music regarding live animal transport, as Caroline says there, is it shifting in Europe? And what will the consequences of that be for live exports from Ireland?
Well, there is no doubt there is a shift in opinions around animal transport. Primarily, though, the problem here is there's been a catalogue of appalling abuse in some member states, and that has to be accepted. So we do need to ensure that those that are breaching it fundamentally are making no effort to enforce and have no proper systems in place, that they must be brought to book. But in terms of Ireland itself, I mean, it would be wrong for people to think that Ireland is not enforcing regulations. We have higher standards in many cases. For example, the space required on the lorries is more than it is obligated on the regulations that lay down by the European Commission. You know, so we are doing quite a lot. And Chagas and Borbia and others are involved in very detailed scientific research around the whole okay. impact of transport on unweaned calves. So it's not as if we're not conscious, but we are also conscious of the fact that live animal exports are an integral part of Irish right. agricultural okay. industry. And we do need to ensure that we protect it, but protect the integrity of it as well by ensuring the highest standards possible.
All right. And I'll bring you back in there, Caroline. I'll bring you back in a second, Caroline, on that. But just Minister McConnellogue, by the way, just it should be pointed out, this week has launched Ireland's the first animal welfare strategy, if people want to read about it on the Department of Agriculture website. Before I go back to Caroline, just very quickly, Billy, what's wrong with slaughtering the animals here and exporting the meat?
Well, traditionally, we don't involve ourselves in veal farming in Ireland. It just hasn't been a tradition of the country itself. We also have an increasing dairy population now. It looks like that we will be going to about 10 billion litres in terms of output from the dairy industry. That will mean more cows, more calves. And the idea that you can keep every animal on the island, you know, I don't believe is a sustainable proposition.
Well, your fellow Minister McConnellogue, or your fellow party colleague there, Minister McConnellogue, he's the very one that says we need a mature discussion now on that expansion, which, you know, is obviously contentious as well. You wanted to come back in there, Caroline, but I can also let you respond to that and also just to ask you a question. Would this then, where would this leave us in relation to the transport of animals to third world countries for breeding and to help farmers there?
Well, breeding is a different issue altogether, but, you know, we can export embryo and semen, and, you know, we have to. The problem with the transport to third countries, first of all, these sea journeys, you know, they can spend 2 weeks at sea, these young bulls. These vessels are very old. I've seen some marine survey report recently with one of the vessels. It's full of corrosion. You know, yes, the industry is regulated on paper, but, you know, I've been researching this for 4 or 5 years now. And, you know, I know that the regulations are not, even in Ireland, they're not being adhered to.
What about flying cattle? That would reduce travel journeys to a fraction.
That's just absurd to me, really. You know, you've got to think about the carbon footprint of, as well as flying animals all around the world, particularly calf. I know that there's going to be trials starting in March, flying calf to Belgium. You know, first of all, again, they're only going to be like, you know, 15 to 21 days old. The biggest stress during transport is the loading and the unloading. So these calves are going to be loaded at the farm assembly centre. They're going to go to the airport. They're going to be unloaded, loaded onto a plane in crates or pens. They're going to be unloaded at the other end. They're going to have turbulence to deal with, changes in air pressure, excessive noise.
Okay, that's a no-no from you.
Absolutely. Okay. I just think that's absurd.
All right, Billy, finally and very briefly, where are we with this committee? When will we have a report?
Well, hopefully they'll make a report at the end of the year, but the report, I hope, will stick to the terms of reference, which is to ensure that the European Commission is held to account about its failure to enforce regulations across member states, and that member states will be held to account. But the broader issue, I also hope, will be adjudicated fairly, and not from an ideological view or any other view, but will be looked on from the science. And I think we should wait for Chagas and others to bring forward their detailed analysis of the impact of transport on unweaned calves. Also accepting that we're an island nation and we do have that logistical challenge of getting from Rosslare to Cherbourg, but we have the highest standards, and I don't think people should be dismissing that lightly.
And as the only Irish member of that committee, will be interesting to gauge the other committee members' response to you as an Irish MEP talking about the importance of live exports to Irish agriculture. I think both of you, though, Caroline Rowley of Ethical Farming Ireland and MEP Billy Kelleher, you're both at one on the issue of holding the EU to account on the issue of animal welfare. And thank you both very much for joining us this morning. We will be back to you on this issue, I'm sure, no doubt, in the future. Now,